Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We are continuing Romans chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn there and read along with us, and then you know the routine. If you can, if you are able, please stand to the reading of the Word of God. We're going to pick it up at verse 11. I say then, have they, Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is reconciling them to the world of the world, that will their acceptance be but life from the dead. For if the first root is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but towards you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We just pray, Lord, once again, that you would take your word and wash our hearts and minds. Let the truth of who you are and how you expound things be resonated in our own hearts. Let it also come out in our lives, in our daily walk with you. Bless our time together, Father, I pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I say then, have they stumbled? That means stumbled to fall. In the Greek, what it means is a permanent fall. Have they fallen and can't get up? They can't be recovered. Is God done with Israel? Look at his response. Certainly not. 10th time he's used this phrase. In the Greek, it's a very negative phrase. Spoken as the most negative that he could have used. It means certainly not, God forbid, by no means. Don't even think it. God is not done with Israel. Notice what it was for, though, to provoke them to jealousy, but also to bring salvation to the Gentiles. Verse 12. Now, if their fall is riches of the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Their fall, this word means to deviate from the path, turn aside, wander from the world, mankind. Failure, their failure to grasp Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their Messiah. They missed it. Now, in their failing, what'd that do? Remember, the gospel was first preached to the Jew and then to the Gentile. In fact, we know in Paul's ministry, what did he say? He got fed up and he finally said, look, I come to you Jews all the time and you reject it. I am now going to the Gentiles. So the Jews' rejection was the Gentiles' blessing. But how much more than the fullness will suggest when the fullness of the Jews come back? Now, we're going to touch on that probably next week a little deeper, but it does mean a vast, if you will, reformation. Regeneration, renewing of the Jewish nation. Verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry if by any means. Why? Because, hey, I celebrate. I'm joyful as I see the crop of Gentiles. They were coming by the thousands to Christ because of his ministry and the ministry of the other apostles. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are of the flesh, my flesh, Israel, and save some of them, that they would feel jealous, that they would come back to the Lord, that they would come to the Lord. Verse 15. If their being cast away is reconciling to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from death? Here the riches to the Gentiles of the world, now through Christ, that all men may be saved by faith in restoring man's fellowship with God. Before, the Gentile was unalienated from God because they did not know God. In fact, as Ephesians says in chapter 2, it says this, that at the time you, Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Later on in verse 12, he says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you fellow citizens, the saints and the members of the household of God, because again, their rejection has been your blessing, your riches. Now, again, life from death, we'll touch more on this, but just to give you a clue, in Zechariah it says this about the nation Israel. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeves of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. God has not rejected the Jewish nation. Verse 16. For if the first fruits is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. If the whole is holy, the portion of it is still holy. To get it to its brass tacks, if you will. If the root is good, the tree will be good. If the tree is good, the fruit will be good. It's the idea there. Verse 17. And if some of the branches are broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them because of a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Some of the branches were broken off. Oh, that word can also mean cut off. Some, but not all, of Israel was broken off or cut off. You, us, Gentiles, from a wild olive tree, grafted in with them the believing Jews, becoming partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, fed by the root. So now the question is what's the root? What is the root of your faith? Well, if you will, I'm going to nail you with a lot of scriptures here. It begins with a man. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you. Kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation. For an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Earlier, he said this to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then we fast forward to Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel of Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. From Abraham is the root of faith. From faith comes the Jew. From the Jew comes... Oh, let us go on. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So that's why in Acts chapter 3, verses 25 through 26, Peter says, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. That's why later on, and Paul will say again in this book, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall have hope. What's the hope? What's the root? What's faith in? Faith is in simply this. It all began because God chose a man. A man because there was no other man. And he had to pull them out of the world, if you will, because he was in a very worldly area. He said to Abram, leave your family, leave your land. I'm going to show you a land I'm going to give you. Abraham believed God. He trusted God and he walked. Listen, you didn't just jump on a bus, okay? You hear me, Nicholas? He didn't just jump on a bus and just drive to the beach, okay? It wasn't like that at all. See what happens? They had to walk in a hot, dusty desert. And in walking, again, God showed him the land and says, this is the land I'm giving you. And this is the land I will bless you with. But this is also a promise that through you all the nations will be blessed, because out of your seed he will come, the root of Jesse, from David, and he shall reign forever and ever. But even better than that, he will save us from our iniquities. You and I came to faith by a Jew. The book you hold in your hand is written by Jews. Everything of our faith is based on what the Jewish people have already gone through. And again, if I didn't say it, let me remind you, Jesus was Jewish. It's from that root our faith has grown and blossomed. But understand, it's faith in him, in Jesus Christ. That's why they were broken off. That's why the nation Israel, they rejected their Messiah and they were cut off. John the Baptist warned them, do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus also warned. He said to them, they said to Jesus, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And what's the work of Abraham? To believe. Oh, not just this mysterious, hopeful, throw it in the wishing well belief. Not the Disney belief, that you're all princesses and princes. Kings and queens you all are. Not in that sense, no. But see, the truth of the matter is, God has called all of us who were broken, hurting, in need of a Savior, a need of being saved. It's a gospel truth that we need to preach to ourselves every day. You're broken. Praise God. You're hurting. Oh, praise God. You're in need. Oh, praise God. Because out of that, if you will, is the seed of faith. Is trusting him in a day-to-day fashion. Have you come to the conclusion there is no hope in this world without him? It's not through politics. It's not through the economy. It's not through the United States. It's not through a president. It's through nothing on this earth, not gold nor riches. There's got to be somebody in control of this ship because it's going out of control. Praise God, you may ask. There is. And he knows where it's going and headed. And for us, we are the children of God because, again, we've come from the seed of Abraham because of belief and faith that you now too are, if you will, spiritually speaking, sons of Abraham. Why? Because you believed God and you know that these things are true. Now, the fatness of the olive tree to the Gentiles meant blessing and prosperity and fruitfulness. Because, again, we believed, or Gentiles believed in Christ, God has blessed the individual Gentile. The church is mostly made of Gentiles. and, if you will, Western civilization are all the nations that used to claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God blessed Western civilization more than any other civilization. He's blessed them for hundreds of years. Why? Because of the kernel truth of it, the people believed in Him. They were following Him. Their civilization was based on Him. And it was governed, if you will, by the law of God. Pick up verse 18. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. I have nothing to praise myself with. I don't look down on Jewish people. Who am I? I'm saved. I'm blessed. But doesn't take away the responsibility to sharing that truth with Jew or Gentile. It's being open to that, but also understanding what supports me. Look at verse 19. You will say branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief. Now we kind of get into the heart of it. See, your faith and my faith is only based on belief in Him. Belief in this word that this is true. And belief in what Christ has done for you and for me. They were broken off, so I can't stand and say, look, you were broken off. Ha, ha, ha. Like a little kid, right? Look what I have. You don't have it. It's like the old thing, too. Have you ever noticed? You say to one kid, hey, would you like this? And they say no. And then you give it to the other kid. Then the first kid that you offered it to starts crying and whining because they want it now. Not that they really want it, but they didn't want the other kid to have it. In some ways, that's the way we can be, isn't it? And if you will, that's the idea that was supposed to happen with the Jewish people. Is they're supposed to realize what they've missed out on. So there's no room for pride. Because that's what they were full of. The Jewish people were full of pride and self-reliance, selfish ambition. They were blind to their own predicament and lulled to sleep. Everything's okay. We have the law and the prophets. We have the root. Everything's hunky-dory. It's fine. Look at verse 21. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness, that word severity means harsh, abrupt judgment. Those who fell away from God. Goodness, if you continue. To remain, that word means abide, preserve faith to God through Christ. Now, knowing this, this is a if you will, a message and a passage that's hard to teach from. And you may say, well, it's harder to listen to. But the truth of the matter is, again, it's in the Word of God, and it's something for us to take note of. Because, again, what Paul's doing, he's warning them. He's warning them that what has been cut off and grafted in can also be removed. Now, before you start getting scared about your own faith, which we've said before, in Christ, you are secure, but let's look at this honestly. I'm going to look at three things here, and I promise it won't be long. But three things to look at in the Gentile world that right now, as we're watching, is in danger. See, the first I'd bring your attention to is nations. The nations right now. In Psalm chapter 2, the psalmist says in verse 1, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Later on, that same chapter in verse 10, he says, now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little blessed are those who put their trust in him. As we look at the world right now, we see nations separated themselves from God. Western Europe has really no faith anymore. The churches are empty. Mass cathedrals. There's just a few people. In fact, we would outnumber them. Can you imagine us in this big old room and we're just taking this little, Anyway, the point is that they were just a few people in these large cathedrals that once were full of people. The Time magazine in the 60s said God is dead. And really, if you will, God is not dead, because even came from that a great revival. But still, in the hearts of the nations, God is dead. Is it true with us in this nation? Began with taking God out of prayer, out of school, from prayer to reading of his word, taking down 10 commandments. Now we're seeing it all dissolve before us. Why? Because they've rejected him who is the blessing of all nations. As we see these things in society, though, it shouldn't make us be concerned, but it should warn us. Warn each of us. Because, see, it's not just the nations, it's the churches. Now, go through this fairly quickly. If you want to follow along, it's fine. But in Revelation, Jesus warned the churches, which I believe also demonstrate churches today. The church of Ephesus, he says this: "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." See, to have doctrine is good. To have the truth and to follow it is good. But to have no heart to it is in danger of being filled with another desire, another passion, another purpose. And so each of us has to also take warning. What's my heart like towards the Lord? Am I becoming more docile? Am I falling asleep? Stupor has taken over? Is there a passion for coming together? Is there a passion of talking about the Lord? Is it something you have to really work at? Or you find it easier? To the church of Pergamos, he says, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam and taught Balak." Dropping down, it says, "Thus also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Which thing I hate, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." It was Nicolaitans. I said Nicolaitans, didn't I? Well, if you're watching Nickelodeon, that's fine too, I guess. Well, not really, but the Nicolaitans. So the whole thing is, and the whole point is allowing doctrine into the churches, whether it be the cultural doctrine, society doctrine, or other doctrines they were guilty of. And as we see this in this day and age, we see this happening to so many different churches. That they're trying to be appeasing to society and not sticking to Christ and his word and his truth. To the church of Thyatira, says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. I will give to each one of you according to your works." Church of Thyatira, again, we're doing this very quickly, just to summarize it very quickly, is they were guilty of adding to the worship of God. Whatever it takes. Now, I may step on some toes here, and please take it in the heart that I'm going to share it in, is that churches even now, in modern day, they are going to such extremes to bring in people, to make it seem so tantalizing, so exciting, that they're leaving the truth of the Word of God, and they're leaving Christ out. Whether it be smoke machines, whether it be people, I saw this woman, this pastor went on this high wire and went to the stage on it. They have angels flying in the ceiling, but they're not preaching the Word of God. Oh, people are coming. Why? Because of the theatrics. But they're not hearing the Word of truth. And basically, that's what Christ was warning the church of Thyatira. What are you doing? To the church of Sardis, and to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, how fast you repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. In a nutshell, what? They were asleep. They thought they were fine. I'm alive. I go to church. I'm here. I read my Bible. No, I fall asleep usually reading it. In the church, let's face it. Have you listened to our pastor? You'd fall asleep too. My mind wanders. I'm thinking, what am I going to do after church? Go golfing. Go to the park. Play with the kids. What are you having for lunch? Your mind's going all these different places. And you think you're okay. Now, I'm saying this to all of us, but really, if you will, look at the church as a whole. Not this one, but the church today as a whole. We're seeing this in society. People do their diligence. They do their duty. They come to church. But is it impacting them? Is it making them want to live for Christ? Is it giving them that passion, that desire to walk forward in His name? Or is everything okay? I did my duty. Monday comes along and I forget about everything. Sadly to say, this is what we see in our society. How do we know this? Because this nation still says it's very religious. And still, they consider them a Christian nation. But the fruit of it doesn't bear that truth. Has the church fallen asleep? It used to be the church was the moral guard of this nation. Now, we live in tolerance. We tolerate everyone. And some of them even bought into the lie that all roads lead to heaven. Let's not rough any feathers. Let's not hurt anybody's feelings. God loves you. You're okay. They're on their way to hell. To the church of Laodicea, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, do not know that you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Nutshell. So many churches have all the programs, and they have everything so orderly and so organized. And such the organization of it, there's no room for the Spirit to move. And saying that, what happens is that there's no need to depend upon God. A.W. Tozer in the 60s said this long ago, and it becomes more and more true. He said, if the Holy Spirit was taken out of the church in the first century, then maybe 10% of the church would have continued. He said, nowadays you take the Holy Spirit out of the church, 90% of the church would keep going, only 10% would stop. If you've discovered this, then you are blessed. Even if it's hard, you're still blessed. It's a lot of work, in a sense, spiritually speaking, but it means you're blessed. Are you dependent upon His Spirit daily? Do you call upon Him daily? And just the simple tasks. Every day, every moment, every task that you have, whether it be little or be great, whether you're in conversation or not, whether you're teaching your children or not, whether you're just hanging out with them, are you whispering to Him, help me to speak wisely? Because if you're not, if you're one of those that never says anything wrong, then you are blessed. And I call you maybe a liar. Because there's one thing that we are all guilty of, and typically what happens, it could, maybe you don't do it very often, but you do it. Stick the old foot in the old mouth and have to backtrack. Or words that you say and you wish that you can grab them. All right, I'll confess something. Even this morning I blew it. I did. Not with my wife. Don't go hunt her down. But I went to USOP like I normally do. And my, really what I do at certain ones is I witness to people. And I try never to go to politics. I went to politics. I had to apologize. I walked out and I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. I even asked them, I'm sorry, I'm going politics. I got to go. I blew it. And you want to know? I'll tell you why. I'm not ashamed of this. I will be honest with you. This is normally when I walk in there, I say, Lord, if I'm to speak, give me the words to speak. If I'm to shut up, keep my mouth shut. I didn't say that. And as I walked out is when I prayed. I'm dependent upon God daily. No. Minute by minute. Second by second. You are too. I don't have it all together. I'm not strongly disciplined. I'm not the one that can do it and have no problems with anybody or ramifications. Now, I say that somewhat in tongue in cheek. Why? Because really, that's a blessing. Why? Because none of us can. That's the whole point. Our dependency upon God is a day-to-day, minute-by-minute truth. And it'd be good and wise for all of us to learn just the simple truth of being able to pray constantly, like it says in the Word of God. Pray without ceasing. Have a conversation with Him always. As you just sang, and I sang it with you, that He is a good, good Father. And His love for you, oh, it's immeasurable. But in knowing that love is to walk in that love. To walk in that love, you must have communication. And even though you blow it, you are loved. Lessons learned, dependency upon Him. And as we see the churches right now, they are lacking, so many of them, dependency upon God. Let that not be true here. Now, the last thing is individuals. Can you lose your faith? Well, let's look at a couple scriptures here, okay? In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 32, Paul warned the church at Ephesus, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The enemy does not like those who are following the Lord. He will do whatever he can to separate others from the flock. But understand something, that if permanently somebody is left the flock, does that mean they lost their salvation? Can you lose your salvation? Well, John in his epistle kind of clarifies this. He says in chapter 2 of his first epistle, verse 19, he says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." In a nutshell, if you are secure in the Lord, then you can be a prodigal. You can run, but you can't hide. That you can live in the world and be miserable. And God in his loving faithfulness will hunt you down. Remind you of the goodness of God. Remind you of your calling. That he chose you. That you are his. And as he says, nobody can snatch you out of my hands. No one. Now, if there is one that does leave, still the Spirit does call to that person. And if that person does not hear it, if they do not listen to it, if they reject it because they are now in their own little world, then what happens is they were never of the church. They were never of Christ. They gave lip service. They were looking for the new thing, something that might change them for their life to make it better, but not the truth of the gospel. Truth of the gospel of the brokenness that we are, that he has come to heal, to mend, to save, and to work in each of our lives. Now, as a church, what? And as individuals, last thing, two warnings. One, Jesus says this, "Watch therefore, you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say to all, watch." Wake up. Be ready. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to us as a church? As we continue on this journey together. Well, first of all, it means encourage each other. Keep awake. It's to warn each other. Watch out. It's to notify each other. How you doing? It's to work together and say, let us go. And it's to live. It's to live for him with one eye up. One eye down, one hand working, the other hand with a sword. The other thing is what Paul said to Timothy. He said to Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry." It's to continue to be in the Word of God. Continue to learn the truth. Continue to see him clear, to be motivated for your relationship with him. It's all about him. It always has been. See, from Abraham, really, that seed was going to come. It was the promise to all the world. See, through him, all the nations would be blessed. All the people would be blessed because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer to the ailments of this world. Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring peace into this world. Jesus Christ is the only one that gives answers to this world. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. It's for us to worship Him and add nothing to that. It's for us to add nothing to His Word. It's to preach the Word, even through tough scriptures like we just went through. It's to go through it together and understand the excitement is really in understanding God's Spirit working in our hearts and our lives of these truths so that we can get a godly perspective, a biblical perspective in this world. It's dying out. Why? Because it's rejecting God. Stop looking at it as if it's us against them. It is not. The world in itself is going the way of the world. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That you and I, as we talked about before, are salt and light. There's nothing else, gang. You can look high, you can look far, you can look wide, but there's nothing else. This truth in itself should stir us and spring us together. What God wants to do in and through you as an individual, in this church together, in this nation as we pray for her. God is sovereign and He's in control. And He's not done with Israel. And we'll see more about that next week. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we get to hear things even sometimes that they're hard to hear. But again, it encourages us, speaks to us, that You're not done with us. Lord, that Your promises are eternal. That we can have the trust and faith that what You are doing is because of what You have done. And what You have done gives us hope for what will happen. So Lord, we just pray as we've come together as a church, help us to be faithful to Your Word and to You. Help us, Lord, to navigate in this world, not to hide from it, not to cower from it, but to seek You in all things through it. So that You may use us, Lord, in sharing the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to stay true to who You are and to Your Word as a body. And help us, Lord, by the power of Your Spirit, make an impact to those around us. And Lord, we pray for the peace upon Israel, knowing, Lord, that You are not done with them. And because of really the witness that they are as they exist, should encourage each of us. So, Father, we lift all these things up to You, and we ask them all in Jesus' name. Amen.